Welcome to pre-ICANN 63 policy open house on Thursday, 11th of October 2018 at 1900 UTC. I'm Ozan Şahin from ICANN regional office in Istanbul, and I'd like to point out some information in the housekeeping rules part before we get started. Please make sure to check this part located on the left bottom corner of your screen. You will note that Spanish interpretation is provided for this call. We will start with a briefing from Policy Development Support Team, which will last about 40 minutes. After that, questions and answers session will follow. In the meantime, please feel free to type your questions or comments in the chat box. I will watch the chat box and raise them at the Q&A section of the open house. I'm now handing it over to David Oller for his opening remarks. David? David, we cannot hear you at the moment.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, to our pre-ICANN 63 policy webinar, which we will provide a high-level overview of the planned work and activities of the supporting organizations and the advisory committees at ICANN 63. On this particular slide, we have prepared particular materials for your background and preparation, and we note them here. If you have time to download them and read them at your leisure, that would be, I think, very helpful. ICANN 63 is the annual general meeting for the ICANN community, board, and organization. This meeting showcases the work of ICANN. It will feature two public forum sessions, a public meeting of the ICANN board, one cross-community work session, and two high-interest topic sessions, as well as outreach and engagement activities. Also on the AGM agenda is, of course, the Tuesday of the ICANN meeting, Constituency Day, an important time for various stakeholder and constituency groups to meet with the board and exchange ideas and information. We have developed some new policy graphics, which I am showing here, and you could also download, which talks about the steps for the policy development and advice development process at ICANN. We will also celebrate our community at ICANN 63. There will be a community recognition program on Thursday, the 25th of October, where we recognize the various efforts of leaders from across the supporting organizations and advisory committees and the nominating committee. And we'll also, of course, have a celebration of ICANN's 20th anniversary, where we'll toast the work of ICANN since its inception in 1998. We hope you will join us for both of these special moments in Barcelona. We'll also have three cross-community sessions, one on a popular and important topic dealing with the general data protection regulations, the other one dealing with the work of the generic name supporting organizations, expedited policy development process on the temporary specification for the generic top-level domain registration data, and some innovations on top-level domains by some operators. At this stage, we're talking about over 300 sessions that will take place in Barcelona, which indicates the activity, interest, involvement of you, the community. And so we want to put up a little poll to see how many sessions will also be supported for the policy and advice work that we, the policy team, will be involved with. And of the over 300 sessions at ICANN 63, how many will be supported by the policy team in your work with the SOAC stakeholders and constituencies? We have 55, 110, 175, or 215. Ah, we have a smart group of people here. And indeed, you are right at 2:15. So many people on the call have been actively and hardworking members of our community. We thank you for that. Again, a global community of our stakeholders and participants from many backgrounds and various points of view help us coordinate and support the unique identifiers of the Internet. The Internet functions for everybody because everybody is invited to make it work. Consensus policy development, multi-stakeholder model are highly effective and have the greatest legitimacy. So I want to thank you all for your efforts, and we look forward to seeing you either in person or, again, via remote participation, which is another way to continue to be involved and to participate. And with that, I'll turn it over to my colleagues who will give you overviews of the various groups that are part of ICANN 63. Yoke, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, David, and hello, everyone. My name is Joke Brake, Policy Advisor for the Country Code Name Supporting Organization, and I'm speaking to you from Germany. Welcome all, and I will provide you with a brief overview of some of the topics the CCNSO will address in Barcelona. The first topic is, as you might know, that the CCNSO Council has initiated the third CCNSO policy development process, which deals with the retirement of country code top-level domains, as well as the review mechanisms for decisions relating to the delegation, the transfer, the revocation, and the retirement of CCTLDs. You will be able to receive updates on this topic during the CCNSO members meeting, which is open to all with an interest in CCTLD-related topics, and I'll pass a link to the agenda of the members meeting later in the chat. And of course, the working group will meet face-to-face as well. I will not go further into detail now because we will address the work of this group later in the next slide. So a second topic the CCNSO will address in Barcelona is the IDN CCTLD recommended policy review. And please allow me to give you some background information regarding this. In September 2013, the CCNSO concluded its work on the IDN CCTLD overall policy, which addressed, first of all, the selection of IDN CCTLD strings, but also the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO. So this recommended policy will replace the fast-track process in time, and the much-needed review of the proposed policy will start shortly. So during the first day of the CCNSO members meeting, on Tuesday that is, we will inform the CCTLD community and other interested parties on the IDN CCTLD policy areas that need to be reviewed. So a third item on the CCNSO agenda are the risks associated with the use of emoji in second-level domain names as identified in the ASSAC advisory on the use of emoji in domain names, also referred to as SAC 059. Now, following a board resolution on the adoption of SAC 59, apologies, 95 that is, the CCNSO Council established a study group, and the purpose of this study group is really to provide a comprehensive overview and to document the issues associated with the use of emoji as second-level domains, and also to document the practices by CCTLD managers that allow emojis as second-level domains. And that brings me to the fourth topic, namely the Customer Standing Committee Effectiveness Review. So per its charter and the ICANN bylaws, the effectiveness of the CSC will initially be reviewed 2 years after its first meeting, and then every 3 years. And the first meeting of the CSC was in October 2016. So in order to make this review happen, the councils of the Generic Name Supporting Organization and the Country Code Name Supporting Organization, they recently adopted a method for a lightweight and brief CSC effectiveness review. This review builds on the outcome and the findings of the CSC Charter Review, and the results, once adopted by both the GNSO and the CCNSO councils, will feed into the IANA Functions Review. Now, let's talk a little bit more in detail about the CCNSO PDP on the retirement of CCTLDs, which is one of the major topics for discussion by the CCNSO in Barcelona. So what has been completed to date? Two elements. The first one is that the group made an analysis of the different retirement cases to date caused by, for instance, a significant name change of a country or a dissolution of a country or a territory. I would like to stress the importance of this evolving geopolitical landscape because this is directly reflected in the two letter codes included in the ISO 3166-1 list. Secondly, the group also prepared a glossary of the relevant terminology with the terms used in the context of retirement of CCTLDs, but also in the context of removal of country codes and also the removal of elements from the ISO 3166 list. There are a few elements that are currently still under discussion, and these are actually the core elements for the policy, such as the applicability of the policy to all country code top-level domains, including those CCTLDs that are not a member of the CCNSO, the timeline for the removal of the CCTLDs from the root zone, the process leading from the removal of the country code from the ISO list until the removal of the CCTLD from the root zone, and then, of course, the oversight of this complete process that is also still currently under discussion. So as a next step, the group recommends that there should be a stress test of the recommended policy. And that really concludes my update. Thank you very much. And I hand it over to my colleague, Marika.
Hi, Marika.
Hello,
we cannot hear you at the moment. Hi, Marika. Can you hear me?
Yes, Ozan. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. So, hello again. My name is Marika Konings. I'm a Vice President Policy Development for the GNSO, or the generic names, a supporting organization, and speaking to you from a beautiful Costa Rica. So first of all, thank you all for joining today's briefing. Continuing a trend that was set a number of meetings ago, the generic name supporting organization, also known as the GNSO, has carved out significant time at ICANN 63 for its policy development activities. The different policy development process working groups have been allocated substantial face-to-face time to progress their deliberations, with a full-day meeting on Saturday for the expedited policy development process team on the temporary specification for GTLD registration data, as well as several additional face-to-face meetings throughout the week. In addition, the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group and the review of all rights protection mechanisms, or RPMs, in all GTLDs working group also have significant time carved out to continue their deliberations. With the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group focused on reviewing the comments received on its initial report and progressing the deliberations on geographic names at the top level, and the RPM PDP working group expected to review initial survey results as well as possible enhancements to the uniform rapid suspension system. Bilateral meetings are also scheduled with the Country Code Supporting Organization, CCNSO, and the Governmental Advisory Committee, or the GAC, to discuss issues of common interest and our activities that have been jointly organized. For example, the GNSO and the GAC are expected to discuss the status of the curative rights protection for IGOs and INGOs policy development process, as well as PDP 3.0, which is focused on enhancing the efficiency and effectiveness of the GNSO policy development process. During its Sunday session, the GNSO is expected, amongst others, to receive updates on the new approach for the fellowship program, further discuss what improvements should be implemented in the context of PDP 3.0, engage with the Internet Governance Engagement Group, and receive an update from ICANN's Global Domain Division on the status of implementation of adopted GNSO policy recommendations. And last but not least, they will also conduct an interview with the two candidates for the GNSO chair position, namely Keith Drazik and Rafiq Damak. As many of you know, Tuesday is dedicated to stakeholder group and constituency internal meetings, and the day is also referred to as Constituency Day. The open GNSO Council meeting on Wednesday is expected to include topics such as the reconfirmation of the GNSO Council liaison to the Governmental Advisory Committee, a consideration of the curative rights protections for IGO, INGO's PDP final report, and the termination of the next generation registration directory services to replace WHOIS PDP working group. In the second part of that meeting, the newly appointed council members will take their seats, in addition to those that remain to finish out their terms, with their first decision being the election of the new GNSO chair. The GNSO then wraps up its activities at ICANN 63 with a wrap-up session on Thursday, which is expected to include the appointment of council liaisons to positions that have become vacant, with council members stepping down, appointment of volunteers to lead the GNSO review of the GAC communique, and the start of planning for ICANN 64. As several of you had expressed an interest in hearing further details about some of the GNSO policy development activities at ICANN 63, we'll now highlight two of these. First of all, the expedited policy development process on the temporary specification for GTLD registration data, also referred to as the EPDP. This effort was launched by the GNSO Council on the 19th of July 2018, with the EPDP team convening for its first meeting on the 1st of August. Representatives have been appointed to the team from the GNSO stakeholder groups, as well as appointed representatives from the ALAC, the GAC, and ESSEC, as well as liaisons from the ICANN board and ICANN org. In addition, anyone interested can observe the EPDP team deliberations by tuning into the audio cast that is provided for every meeting, as well as access to a view-only Adobe Connect room. The scope of the EPDP's team's effort includes confirming or not the temporary specification by 25th of May 2019, which is the date at which the temporary specification will expire. Additionally, the scope includes discussions of a standardized access system to non-public registration data. However, the discussion of this system will only commence after the EPDP team has comprehensively answered a series of gating questions, which have been specified in the EPDP team's charter. Since launching, the EPDP team has met now 19 times, two meetings a week, 2 hours in each, in addition to a number of small team meetings. And most recently, it completed its face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles. During this meeting, significant progress was made as the EPDP team tentatively agreed to consider a number of lawful purposes for the processing of domain name registration data for the next stage of work, which also commenced during the face-to-face meeting, which includes determining data elements required for these purposes, determining the applicable lawful basis, as well as the processing and parties involved. And all of this is feeding into the EPDP team's responses to the charter questions. As I noted previously, the EPDP team has carved out significant time at ICANN 63 to progress its deliberations with the objective of publishing an initial report for public comment shortly after ICANN 63. During the high-interest topic session, which is scheduled for Monday, the 22nd of October, from 3:15 to 5:15 Barcelona time, the EPDP team plans to share the outline for its initial report and recommendations with the community at ICANN 63. All EPDP team meetings are expected to be open to observers, although the right to speak may be reserved for EPDP team members. For more information about this initiative, as well as other GNSO topics not covered today, I would like to encourage you to review the GNSO policy briefings, which are published prior to every ICANN meeting to help attendees prepare accordingly. And with that, I will now hand it over to my colleague, Steve, who will tell you a little bit more about one of the other ongoing GNSO policy development efforts.
Thanks, Marika. My name is Steve Chan. I'm a policy director for the GNSO, and I am joining you from California. And so I'll be talking to you about the new GTLD subsequent procedures policy development process. Many of you might know this effort was initiated in around the end of 2015, and they began their operations in early 2016. The purpose of this PDP is to look at the 2012 round of the new GTLD program, as well as consider the original policy recommendations from the GNSO's final report from 2007. And from that analysis, to determine if there are improvements or refinements or the development of new policy recommendations or implementation guidance that might be needed. So in terms of what to expect at ICANN 63, the subsequent procedures PDP was allocated a full day to meet on Saturday, 20 October. The morning will be allocated to Work Track 5. Work Track 5 is dedicated to the topic of geographic names at the top level. They will be talking about some open topics that require additional consideration, but mostly they will be looking at their draft initial report, which they are seeking to publish after ICANN 63. The afternoon will be dedicated to the full working group, and some of the things that they will be talking about are a supplemental report, some topics that were identified late in the progress and in the course of the PDP and were not included in the initial report. They'll also be looking to kick off three subgroups, A, B, and C, that are tasked with looking at the public comment received for the initial report. And then they'll also be talking about how the implementation for the next round can potentially be streamlined and made more efficient. So the subpro working group's goals for the meeting are really, as I said, to begin review of the public comment to its initial report. For the supplemental report, it will be to get feedback from the community and subsequently publish that supplemental report shortly after ICANN 63. And then also for Work Track 5, it's again to collect feedback from the community on their draft initial report, and as with the supplemental report, also publish that after ICANN 63 for public comment. And the intention at the end of all that is to wrap everything into a final report to be delivered to the GNSO Council. And so after those brief remarks, I'd like to pass it to Carlos Reyes, who will talk to you about the address supporting organization. Thanks. Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, Steve. Hello, everyone. My name is Carlos Reyes, and I have an update today about the address supporting organization. The address supporting organization recently concluded its second organizational review. The review resulted in 18 recommendations, and one of these recommendations called for the NRO, the Number Resource Organization, to convene regional consultations across the five regional internet registry communities. The consultations would discuss the future structure of the ASO at ICANN. Since then, the NRO Executive Council has considered the results of this process and provided 4 points as a way forward. First, the number community relationship with ICANN should continue. However, it must be considerably simplified and its focus limited to number community matters. Second, the number community representatives who participate in ICANN should be careful in appraising current and future proposed work items and be prepared to decline those that lie outside the scope of the ASO. And third, the NRO Executive Council will work with ICANN organization to determine the viability of consolidating number community participation in ICANN under the NRO or the ASO. There's been confusion about these two separate identities, and moving to one identity may help in clarifying the relationship between the number community and ICANN. And then four, the NRO Executive Council supports ICANN in its role and will support ongoing evolution of the number community relationship with ICANN. Apart from the organizational review, there's robust regional policy development occurring. Of course, within ICANN, the ASO's mandate is specific to global policy development. As of right now, there are no global policy proposals. In September, the APNIC community, that's the regional internet registry for the Asia-Pacific region, that community considered four proposals. The Latin American community recently discussed six proposals, and that was also the first time they used their new policy development process, which was adopted in June. At the ARIN meeting last week, four policy proposals were considered, and next week, the RIPE community will meet in Amsterdam, and they will review one policy proposal. The AFRINIC agenda for the upcoming meeting in November is still being finalized. At ICANN 63, the ASO Address Council will have a workshop, and the ASO will meet with the ICANN board. With that, I conclude my update on the ASO, and we transition away from the supporting organizations which develop policies and to the advisory committees. And I hand it off to my colleague, Heidi Ulrich. Heidi?
Thank you very much, Carlos. Hello, everyone. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm Vice President for Policy Development and At-Large Relations, and I'm based in Los Angeles. Along with my colleagues Evan Agdogdu and Sylvia Vivanco, I will give you a preview of the key topics and activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, or the ALAC, and the At-Large Community, consisting of 231 at-large structures and 91 individuals. During ICANN 63, the ALAC will have a change in leadership, with Maureen Hilliard taking over as the ALAC chair. From Alan Greenberg, who is stepping down after 4 years as the ALAC chair. There will also be three new members of the ALAC, as well as several new other members of the at-large leadership. At-large will have 24 sessions during ICANN 63 with a focus on two main projects and two primary policy issues. I will briefly describe the two projects while Evan will address the policy issues next. So for the project, the first project is the At-Large Review Implementation. The At-Large Review Implementation Working Group will continue to make progress on the 16 issues it is addressing from the review, including their policy advice process, outreach and engagement activities, and communications. This working group has been meeting every other week since August, and At-Large will spend considerable time during 63 addressing the issues highlighted in the At-Large Review. For the second project that At-Large is focusing on, this will be the At-Large Summit, the third At-Large Summit, or Atlas 3. Plans for Atlas 3 will be discussed during this meeting, and they will be focusing on the criteria for the travel support, as well as the full membership of the group. This third summit will be a smaller summit than the previous two, and it will be taking place at ICANN 66 in Montreal. In addition, At-Large will be meeting with the ICANN board, the CCNSO leadership, the GAC, the NCUC, the RSAC, and the SSAC. I would now like to give the floor to Evan, who will discuss the ALAC policy issues. Evan?
Thank you, Heidi. Hello, this is Evan Agdogdu, Policy Development Senior Coordinator. The ALAC will be focusing on a series of policy discussions during ICANN 63 related to the General Data Protection Regulation, generic top-level domain subsequent procedures, follow-up from the KSK rollover, as well as continued ePDP activity. The ALAC members will be attending the ePDP sessions for most of Saturday. Since ICANN 62, the ALAC has ratified 14 statements, including two that will be ratified in advance of the annual general meeting. The At-Large Consolidated Policy Working Group held weekly calls since ICANN 62, developing ALAC statements and providing the community with regular updates on the ePDP. To see all At-Large policy comments and advice, please visit the At-Large website policy summary page. And now I will turn it over to my colleague, Sylvia Vivanco, At-Large Regional Affairs Senior Manager. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. Hello, everyone. This is Silvia Vivanco, and I will give you an overview of the RALO activities in Barcelona. EURALO will hold a virtual General Assembly to discuss its work, its strategic priorities, and upcoming projects. The General Assembly will feature special guests, ICANN senior staff, and EURALO members. EURALO and the at-large community will also co-host a networking meeting with the non-commercial users constituency for local academia, civil society, and individual users to engage with ICANN and the local community in Barcelona. The AFRALO African community will hold its joint meeting at ICANN 63. Traditionally, this meeting addresses topics of great importance for the African region, and this time the topic will be the new GTLD subsequent procedures, community applications since the 2012 round, the concept of rounds, and community application recommendations. ICANN CEO, senior staff, and members from AFRALO and the wider ICANN African community will participate in this meeting. There will be regional leadership activities, which will focus on key policy topics and outreach and engagement activities for all the RALOs. The five RALOs will hold a meeting to discuss issues of strategic importance, where common discussion and joint action is required. Some of these issues are the implementation of the at-large review recommendations, outreach activities, and planning for the third at-large summit. To see all of these meetings and details on the events, please visit the at-large Barcelona Wiki page posted on the chat. Thank you, and now I will turn it over to my colleague, Rob Hogarth. Rob.
Thank you very much, Sylvia, and good day, everyone. I'm Rob Hogarth, and I'm responsible for support of the Governmental Advisory Committee at ICANN. Thank you all very much for attending this event. As you'll note in the participant pod, I'm joined on this call by a number of my GAC support colleagues, in particular Gulten Tepe, Julia Charvalen, and Fabienne Betremieux. We also have the privilege of our independent secretariat to the GAC, Tom Dale, also in attendance. So if you have any questions or comments that you want to share in the chat, they'll be in a great position to answer your questions in the chat. In Barcelona, again, the GAC will, as it traditionally does, focus on a collection of, and a good mix of both substantive policy matters as well as operational issues. The GAC meeting will take place over the course of four full days. It's going to feature about 32 hours of programming over 30 sessions. A major event in Barcelona is going to be the high-level government meeting, which is scheduled for Monday, the 22nd of October, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. For the most part during the week, in addition to the HLGM, the GAC will focus on matters of substance, and the variety of sessions will feature a combination of briefings and updates, discussions and debates among the various GAC participants, and it should, as the meetings traditionally go, culminate at the end of the week with the publication of the GAC communique. So for many of you who won't be able to attend any or all of the GAC sessions, the communique is always a very good overview that summarizes the week of work for the GAC, shares any specific consensus advice that the GAC has developed for the ICANN board, and I think you'll find it to be a very useful resource, particularly if you're doing research or providing reports to your colleagues about the ICANN meeting. In Barcelona, there will be five major hot topics among all the other ones that the GAC is focusing on. Clearly, GDPR will continue to be a major topic of interest. A number of GAC participants and members will be involved with the EPDP discussions that Marika mentioned earlier, and there will be, in addition to other matters with respect to GDPR, a good discussion about the unified access model. There's going to be an informal meeting with the ICANN board with concerned countries who have concerns about the implementation of two-character country code issuance of country codes at the second level. There will be discussions about geographic names, particularly in the context of the new GTLD subsequent procedure efforts. The GAC hopes to conclude its deliberations about the response to the final report of the Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability, otherwise known as Workstream 2, and in addition to a variety of topics with the GNSO, there will be discussions about IGO curative rights protections and how that process is currently being debated. As usual, the GAC will have a number of traditional meetings that it typically has with the board and the other ACs and SOs. But I think what you'll note from many of you who have observed the GAC over time is that the tone and approach to those meetings is really becoming much more of a substantive exchange of bilateral discussions of issues and getting more into the substance of issues rather than just updates. And the preparations for those meetings that I've observed have really featured that. So for those of you who have interest in a number of those relationships, you may want to pay good attention to what happens in those meetings. Just turning briefly to some more specifics about the high-level government meeting. This is an event that happens about every 2 years. It was actually a subject of recommendations from previous accountability and transparency review team efforts, both ATRT 1 and 2, and it will be interesting, particularly after Barcelona, what, if anything, the new ATRT 3 process takes into consideration about these events. This is the fourth HLGM. Previous meetings happened just about every 2 years prior to this, and this meeting will focus on four key topic sessions. Number one, the role and opportunities for government in ICANN, a fundamental sort of expectation about even holding the event. Conversations about thematic challenges in the IG ecosystem, the internet technological evolution and how ICANN fits into that, and then finally the global digital agenda and discussions of internet policies, which is already proving to be quite a popular session in terms of requests for government statements to be made in that session. Right now, we are expecting, I prepared this slide about a week and a half ago. We're now up to 94 delegations who have advised the government of Spain that they will be attending the meeting. So we're expecting a very good turnout. If you have interest in actually observing or sitting in on the room, you may want to get there early. Seating may be limited for non-delegates. And then finally, just to give you all a heads up, HLGM delegates in Barcelona will have a special orange ribbon for their registration badges. So please reach out, network, use it as an opportunity to welcome many of the delegates who are really going to be coming to their first ICANN meeting. And it will also be an opportunity for perhaps you to reconnect with some existing GAC representatives. And the GAC participants always welcome those exchanges. So thanks very much. I'll handle any questions or other observations later in the call. In the meantime, I'll turn things back to Carlos Reyes. And Carlos, it's going to be Steve. Steve, I'll let you talk a little bit about the RSAC. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Rob. Hello, everyone. I will provide a brief update on the activities for the Root Server System Advisory Committee. At ICANN 63, the RSAC will hold 12 sessions advancing its work. Since the last ICANN meeting, they have published two reports. The first one is RSAC 40, recommendation on anonymization process for IP address. So the background of this work is that DNS operators, in particular the root server operators, are periodically requested to collect the query data they receive and they submit to a central storage for future research. So a case in point is the Day in Life of the Internet, the DITO project that collects 48 hours of the root server traffic. Some operators are uncomfortable sharing the IP address of the query sources and some are legally prevented from doing so. So this report proposes four ways to anonymize the IP addresses. so that, you know, for the root servers to consider. I think this is a broader applicability, not just for the root server operators, but for any DNS operators looking to anonymize the IP address. So that's RSEC 40. RSEC 39 is the RSEC statement regarding ICANN's updated key signing key rollover plan. In May, the board asked various technical advisory committees of ICANN to provide input on ICANN's plan of rolling the key. And the RSEC, you know, spent quite some time debating and deliberating this through the caucus as well, and they reached the conclusion that the plan is good and the rollover should proceed. So that's RSEC 39. They provide exact technical justifications for their reasoning in the documents with a set of commitments from the root server operators, what they plan to do during and after the rollover. I want to also mention that the rollover officially happened at 1600 UTC today. The root zone with the new key has already been published and pushed out to various root server operators. Within 48 hours, where the root zone time to live value expires, you know, the chances that you already, you know, be querying the new root zone with the new key. And so far, we haven't seen any issues. Finally, the RSEC organization review. There's an independent review of the RSEC. This is the second time the RSEC is reviewed. And the RSEC review work party will be looking at implementing the recommendations for those reviews. I would like to move back to, the Root Zone Evolution Review Committee. This is a committee formed as a result of the IANA stewardship transition to provide advice for architectural changes for the DNS root zone. And for this trimester, they were also asked to look at the KSK role. The nine-member expert reviewed the various plans, and they had a similar conclusion as SAC, that the KSK role, there's no reason to stop that. Finally, I'll provide a brief update on SAC. Very similarly, the SAC also weighs in on the updated plan for the KSK role. The consensus of the SAC is very similar to the RSEC and RZERC that the KSK role should happen, but there are, you know, five members of the SAC descended from the consensus, where the way the risk of rolling the key outweighed the benefit outweighed the risk outweighed the benefits. So those are documented in SAC 102. You can take a look at read through their reasoning as well. Also, a brief update on the name collision analysis project. This is a board mandated project for SAC to study name collisions, the root cause, and the mitigation methods for name collision. The SAC has been revising the project proposal, and a final proposal will likely be presented to the board shortly after ICANN 63. And finally, very similarly to RSEC, the SAC also is going through a organizational review. The report will be published, I think, on October 15th. And if you have any comments on, you know, the report and ways to improve SAC, you know, please submit a public comment. And with that, I think that concludes this section of the presentation. I'll hand over back to Ozan. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, everyone. This is Ozan again. We will now continue with questions and answers session. Adobe Connect Room microphone rights have been enabled, as you might have noted on the screen. In order to activate your microphone, please click on the microphone icon at the top of the toolbar and follow the instructions. If you have any questions or comments, you may go ahead and raise your hand to get in the queue or type your question or comment in the chat box. I would also like to remind you to mute your microphone when not speaking. So I don't see any hands at the moment, but we have a question in the chat box from Eichmann Scales. So there's a question for Steve Shank. When will ESSEC launch the NCAP discussion group list? And this is the question. Steve, would you like to provide an answer?
Yeah, thank you, Anne, for that question. I think the ESSEC already finished, you know, the various process and procedure steps for launching the discussion group, and that will be launched, I think, at ICANN 63. So there will be NCAP sessions on this at ICANN 63, so I would encourage you to to attend that, where that more information will be provided. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And this is Anne again. And the only other question I've noted so far in the chat box was from Judith on the GNSO meeting with the Internet Governance Engagement Group on Sunday about the timing. And thanks to Ariel, Ariel provided an answer in the chat box. So if I missed anything, please please let me know. And there is a question in, from Pierre in the chat box. Are ICANN staff members allowed in the GLGM room? I think that should be a high-level governmental meeting room for Rob.
Yes, thank Rob, you. I'll take that. Yes, thank thanks, Ozan. I'll take that one. The HLGM is open. The general intent and expectation is that the participation will generally happen between governments, and then perhaps individual session moderators will have a check of the time. But generally, the expectation is that the actual interventions or participation or statements made live in the room will only be by the delegates. I do have a sort of tongue-in-cheek answer for you, because the crowd is expected to be a large one, and there are some fire marshal restrictions. And particularly if you're ICANN staff and it's time to move people out of the room, you'll be the first ones asked to leave. After that, you know, we want to be able to focus on the delegate attendees. But I'm hopeful that won't be a problem. It won't be the case. But thanks for your question. Hope that answered it.
Thank you, Rob. As I don't see any hands raised or any further questions at the moment, I'd like to move to the next slide. And I'd like to let you know that we have received a number of questions from you through the sign-up form during the registration period. And while you are thinking about the questions, let's go through some of the pre-submitted questions that are relevant to policy development work. And in the meantime, feel free to either raise your hand or type your question or comment in the chat box. But before we get started, there's a follow-up question. Are fellows allowed in the GAC meetings? I'm a fellow, but also worked in the government. It's from Kanan. Would you like to respond to that, Rob?
Thank you, Ozan. Yes, save me some typing so I can speak the answer. Thanks for the question, Kanan. Yes, as of about, I think it was 2.5 or 3 years ago, the GAC opened all of its meetings. So all the plenary sessions of the GAC take place in public. You're welcome to come into the room at any time. In particular, you may want to take advantage of connecting with your fellow government representative just to say hello or to connect. But yes, folks are always welcome. There are some topics that receive a lot more interest than others, where the room tends to fill up with observers. But yes, anytime during the week, please drop by. And any of you who want to drop by the GAC support staff table in the back to say hello, we'd be welcome to see you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. So going back to the questions received through the registration form, some of the questions we received really focused on the policy development process. So let us go through them and discuss in detail. The four questions that you see on the current slide are all about the PDP. Let me read them out loud, and then I will turn it over to Marika to see if she has a response for these PDP-related questions. And I note that the fourth one, current state of EPDP for GDPR, has already been covered in her EPDP update slide. So let's start with the first one. What kind of support background profiles do the internet PDPs need? How can we achieve more PDP participation and engagement by newcomers and fellows? How much participation does the Latin American Caribbean region have on policy development process? The other one is how long does a policy take before it's implemented, and also what processes does it go through? And the other PDP-related question was, with so few words as possible, try to explain the policy in general and how it will influence the internet and affect users. Please give some examples. Marika and other policy colleagues are welcome to add to Marika's response if they wanted to.
Thanks, Ozan. This is Marika again, and I'm happy to try to give a response from the perspective of the GNSO, and if any of my other colleagues want to provide their input from the perspective of their respective groups, and I'm sure they will do so. So on the first question, I think you've heard from our presentation, there are quite a few GNSO policy development processes ongoing on a wide variety of topics. Typically, a call for volunteers will identify the type of expertise that may be particularly helpful, as well as the time commitment that is expected, as some of the PDPs may run over a two to three-year time frame with weekly meetings. From my personal perspective, I think the most important qualification is to come prepared to listen to others and understand the perspective of other participants, which will facilitate arriving at a consensus position, which, of course, is the objective at the end of the day. In order to facilitate the engagement and participation of newcomers, all GNSO PDPs provide for the option to join as an observer, which will allow participants to follow the deliberations until they are comfortable to join as a new participant and fully step in to the work. Similarly, many GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies dedicate significant time to assisting newcomers to get up to speed and enhance their familiarity with ICANN as well as policy development. Although we do not track a geographic location of working group participants, this information is provided by GNSO participants through their statement of interest, which is publicly posted, as well as membership of each PDP working group. So you are able to review that information online if that is of particular interest. In relation to the second question, as not every policy development process is the same, the same goes for the implementation phase. Once policy recommendations emerging from PDPs are approved by the GNSO Council and subsequently the ICANN board, ICANN's Global Domain Division, or GDD, is responsible for implementing these, and they do so according to the guidelines that have been established in what is called the Consensus Policy Implementation Framework, which details the different steps of the implementation process, which includes the following phases: prepare and plan, analyze and design, implement and support and review. It's estimated that the implementation phase can take between 1 to 2.5 years, depending on the complexity and extent of the policy recommendations. Our GDD colleagues actually maintain a website on ICANN.org where you can find further information on both the Consensus Policy Implementation Framework as well as estimated implementation timelines for ongoing projects. And I'll post that link in the chat so you can have a look at that if you're interested to learn more about that. That's what I had on the GNSO. As Ozan already said, the last bullet I think I already covered through my update. But, of course, if there are any further questions on the EPDP, I'm happy to take those. And happy to hand it over to any other colleagues that want to comment on these questions.
Thank you, Marika. And Yoke, would you like to say a few words from the CCNSO perspective on PDPs?
Yes, Ozan, thank you very much. So this is Yoko speaking. So regarding the viewpoint of the CCNSO in terms of the policy development process, I would like to mention that in principle the PDP working groups are open to CCTLD managers, but they're also open to participants from other SOs and ACs, whereas the observers are typically in a CCNSO context experts relating to the work that the PDP working group is conducting. So currently there is one policy development process ongoing within the CCNSO regarding the retirement of CCTLDs. And at the time that this working group was established in the original call for volunteers, there was a detailed explanation of the requirements for the members of the PDP working group in terms of expertise and knowledge. And also included was the time commitment that was involved in the work of this group. So in general, we can say that this is quite a long-drawn process, policy development process, and staff is happy to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Yoke. And as you may see on the other slide, we indeed received more questions through the registration form. But I also note that we have only 1 minute until the top of the hour. So we'll be providing responses to all pre-submitted questions when we post the slide decks on the link that I'll be sharing momentarily. So I'll stop here and see if there are any real-time in-room questions or any hands raised. I'm checking the chat box. So I'll give you 10 more seconds. If you'd like to ask a question, please go ahead. Otherwise, we'll wrap up the questions and answer session. Going once, going twice. Okay. Thank you. Let's wrap up the Q&A session. I'm pasting a link where you can find all the recordings and materials from this call after the session is over. And I'll now hand it over to David Oliver for his closing remarks. David?
Thank you, Ozan, and thank you, everyone, for taking the time to participate with us in this overview in preparation for the various topics, policy, and advice development matters at ICANN 63
six,
in Barcelona.
6666 is not a valid extension. Reconnecting caller.
So with that, we thank you. Safe travels if you're going to be going to Barcelona in person, and if not, we hope to see you online through the remote participation. With that, I wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be, and thank you very much again for your time and attention. Goodbye.